Change up the songs if you're trying to follow the schedule, because I don't know all of them, so. Hymn number 55, we'll start out. Let's stand as we sing. Come, Christians, join to sing. Hymn number 55. Begin our service in prayer. Lord, we want to thank you for this opportunity that we have to come and gather to listen to your word, Lord, and I just want to pray that you would prepare our hearts now as we, as Pastor prepares his message, and just pray that we would be able to take something away from it tonight and that we could apply it to our lives and that we would grow through it, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Please turn to hymn number 40. Hymn number 40, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin, that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today
I'll give you one last chance to stand as we turn to hymn number 361. Hymn number 361, as we stand one last time, Sweet Hour of Prayer.
Turn, please, to 2 Corinthians. And chapter 2. If you'll stand, please, for reading God's word. 2 Corinthians 2. And again, let's read from verse 6 to 11. 6 to 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning to read, "Sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many, so that contrariwise ye ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that ye would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. To whom ye forgive anything, I forgive also. For if I forgive anything, to whom I forgave it, for your sakes forgave I it in the person of Christ, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Let's pray. Father, we do thank thee for this wonderful passage, and we pray that we might learn the devices of our enemy, that we would not be ignorant of them. We pray that thou would teach us, that we might be seasoned soldiers. In Christ's name, amen. Please be seated. Well, we started this ninth device of Satan. And that device is by presenting to the soul the crosses, losses, reproaches, sorrows, and sufferings that do daily attend those that walk in the ways of holiness. Again, this is Thomas Brooks's outline. And the idea is that Satan has a set of devices that he uses. He's not that imaginative, really, because it's the same old number that he uses, same ones. But I suppose he doesn't have to be imaginative because he knows they work. And why try something else if what you've got works? But the good thing about it is you can figure him out, figure what his strategies are and how he's working his ways on you. Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And this one here is number 9 that we're working on. And that is, again, it's by presenting to the soul the crosses, losses, reproaches, and sorrows and sufferings that do daily attend those that walk in the ways of holiness. Satan comes along and he presents to our spirit the losses, the reproaches, the sorrows, the crosses, the afflictions that we undergo in the name, excuse me, in the name of Christ. And he says, well, you don't have to go through all that misery. You don't have to have such a hard go of it. If you would just back off, and if you would just loosen up and join with the world and think like them and behave like them, they wouldn't bother you. And he presents these things to us and says, you know, it's not really worth being a Christian because of your crosses and losses and reproaches and sorrows and so on. And as a Christian, we know the world is against us. If the world all of a sudden is for us, we're doing something wrong. And it's not like we go out of our way to get their opposition. It's natural that it will come without even trying. Because the devil is their master, and the devil will always be pointing fingers at us through his child and saying, you know, he's different, she's different. You know, they're not laughing at your dirty jokes. What's wrong with them? You know, they don't swear, they don't cuss, they don't blaspheme God. What's wrong with them? You need to sort of get onto these people. They're not normal. And they're not even nice. You know, that's, you know, how the devil works it. So he keeps putting these suggestions in our ears and says, look what you're going through as a Christian. You know, it could be, thank you, could be family, opposition from them, neighbors, you know, workmates. Anyone. So the first remedy against dwelling on the hardships that we undergo as a Christian, the first remedy was to consider that all the afflictions that do attend the people of God are such as shall turn to the profit and glorious advantage of the people of God. In other words, like Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to them who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. all things work together for good, including the hardships and afflictions that come upon us because we're Christians. Everyone has hardships. Lost people have hardships. But we're not talking about the common run of problems. We're talking about problems that are directed against us because we're Christians. And we need not mope or carp or complain over those hardships. Christ went to his death because he was different. And as he said, you know, if the world hate me, you know, they will hate you also. We've got a funeral coming up, and the world will be there, and the devil will be there. It's not a Christian funeral I've been asked to take, and I'm fully expecting the world to hate what they're going to hear, though I'm going to be as gentle as I can and as considerate and sensitive as I can. But just giving that as an example. I mean, it'd be nice, wouldn't it, just to fit in with the world and just laugh with them all the time. It's okay to laugh if it's clean and healthy and just a bit of fun. But to be able to laugh with them all the time, forget about having to broach their souls about their need of a savior. I mean, it'd be so much easier than have to go through all that resistance that you're going to face. But that's part and parcel of the road, and all things work together for good. So that's the first remedy, is to consider that all things work together for good. The second remedy, because we're using our mind, we're conditioning our mind against the thoughts that Satan is putting in our mind, the suggestions that he places there. So we have to condition our mind against them. It's like somebody, let's say, that is going to be interrogated by someone that's wanting to brainwash them. Well, you have to be ahead of what their game is. You have to know what they're up to. That's exactly what Satan is. He's trying to brainwash people. So we need to know his strategies, that we're not ignorant of his devices, that we can combat him and still hold to the truth. So we have to condition our minds as he plants these thoughts. The thought in this case that the Christian life is just full of hardship and it's a misery, and you know, we might as well just forget it. You know, if it's going to be this hard, why bother? And so that was the first one, was basically to condition your mind into saying all things work together for good, no matter how hard. And the second one is, as we covered this one, solemnly to consider that all the afflictions that do befall the saints do only reach their worser part. They reach not, they hurt not their noble part, their best part. What he's saying is that we are to consider that all the harm and damage that the devil and his kingdom can do against us is just physical. The worst part. The best part is our eternal spirit. And that's what counts. Is your spirit, how is that standing up? Like if you go to where is it now? First Thessalonians chapter 5, and I'm going to be 23. First Thessalonians 5 and 23. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The spirit, the soul, the body, to be preserved blameless. When it comes to the body, the only way our body can disgrace us or cause us to fall is by employing it in sinful ways. But if we've mastered that, the biggest area that Satan is going to attack is your spirit. It's going to try and discourage you as a Christian. He's going to try and cause your spiritual life to take a nosedive. And that's why Thomas Brooks, in his outline, says to consider that all the afflictions that do befall the saints do only reach their worser part. They reach not, they hurt not, their nobler part. The devil can hurt this body. I mean, he can strike us. He can inflict pain on this body. But he can't affect the spirit if we are strong. If we have fed that well, he can't affect it. That is the noble part, the best part. So that's how we need to think. We need to compare what he can do to our body and what he cannot do to our spirit and say, that's where it's really at. It's not my body, it's my spiritual part. And with such thoughts, we can counter his discouragements. You know, Jesus said as much, didn't he, about to fear him, don't fear him who can kill the body, but fear him that after he hath killed the body can destroy your spirit in eternal damnation. It's the spirit that counts, not the body. Everybody seems down here is concerned about their body right to the last minute, right to the grave. They're always worrying about their body and what can the doctor do for me? How can he prolong my life? You know, there are people that are just inches away from eternity and they haven't prepared one iota for the needs of their eternal soul. And they're still concerned about their body and whether they're getting the proper treatment. Well, that body's going to go one way or the other, sooner or later. And that's not the prime concern. It's the noble part, the best part, the immaterial part. So we need to consider that. And that's what the martyrs thought when they were going to their deaths. In their mind, it wasn't their body. When they walked into the fires, it wasn't that their bodies that was uppermost in their minds as far as priority. It was standing true spiritually to the end. And that's what counts. And I don't know if it was Cramer, but one of the martyrs in the 1500s, you remember that bloody Queen Mary, that was her name? She murdered about 500, at least, Christians. She was a Catholic lady, and she hated Protestants and hated people that loved the Bible and wouldn't submit to the Pope, and she murdered them. Well, the Roman Church would come to the prisoner and offer them the opportunity to recant. I don't know why. They were going to burn you anyway. Maybe the prisoner thought they would get off, but no, they just wanted to supposedly get you right before you die. So, but anyway, some recanted. and swore allegiance to the Pope and Mary and all the rest of it. And Cramer recanted, I don't remember to what degree, but he did make a recantation. But then he was so ashamed and disgusted at himself, because he signed this recantation. He was so disgusted at himself that he, after recanting that and going back to his original position and stating that we are only justified through faith in the blood of Christ, and that the church can do nothing to save our souls, after going back to the right position, he then put the hand that he signed that document with first in the fire. And he went up to the fire and he put that hand in there and let it burn, because that was the hand that he signed when he recanted, and he let it burn. But what I'm saying is, we have to be strong in our spirits. Our bodies are going to fail us. We can't judge anything by how well they're doing or what anyone's doing to them. It's the spirit. We need to be strong in spirit so that we can stand. So that was the second remedy, was to solemnly consider that all the afflictions that do befall the saints, including martyrdom, do only reach their worser part. They reach not, they hurt not their noble part, their best part. The third remedy in thinking out what Satan's suggesting through his devices, these remedies are there to counter Satan's moves. So the third remedy is to seriously consider that the afflictions that do attend the saints in the way of holiness are but short and momentary. As we're going through trials, as we're going through hardships, and because of our faith, because of our witness, because we won't do certain things that we're called upon to do, and so on, we are to consider that it's all but short and momentary. That it's like the saying, you know, this, you know, this too shall pass away. It will all pass away eventually. You know, one day, our dog, we had a dog, kind of a German, it looked like a German Shepherd, there was something else in it, it was a weird dog really in a way, and it got out of our acreage. We had 7 acres there in a bush, got out of our acreage and took another dog with it that we had, and went a couple of miles down the road, and we're looking for it everywhere. And it got into this goat pen. How many goats did it kill? That's what I thought. 20. I thought 22. About, say, 20 goats. Killed 20 goats. Of course, this isn't really suffering for the faith. It's just negligence. But still, unless I can blame it on the devil. but still, someone said to me in the church, "This too shall pass away." Cost a few dollars, you know. But it did pass away. Even, and that's just a regular mundane trial. It's not even a spiritual trial. But everything eventually passes away. You know? Your tormentors have to die sometime. Look on the bright side. You know? So seriously consider that the afflictions that do attend the saints in the way of holiness are but short and momentary. Psalm 30, please, and verse 5. Psalm 30 and verse 5. For his anger endureth but a moment. In his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Joy cometh in the morning. And then John 6, please, and 21. Well, we'll back up to verse 18, John 6 and 18. And this is where Jesus walks on the water. And the sea arose by reason of the great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the water. There's this huge storm taking place and drawing nigh unto the ship. And they were afraid, but he said unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the land whither they went. Somehow, miraculously, not only was the storm calm, but the ship was taken to the opposite shore. Immediately, it arrived there. And it's really telling us that Our discomforts and our hardships are but momentary. They pass, and they pass quickly. They really do. We can make a lot of wrong decisions in that short time under duress. We can go the wrong way, but we should remind ourselves that this too shall pass away, that it's only for a short while. The Lord only tries us according to what we are able. The scripture says that, doesn't it, in Corinthians. where is that? Is it 2 Corinthians 10:13? Let's just go, let's have a look, see if I got the right. Might not be right. No? Uh-huh. That'd be 1 Corinthians. You know the one I'm talking about where Scripture says, concerning we are not tempted above that which we are able. Maybe it's, I thought it was a 10, a 1 or 2 Corinthians 10. See, 10. Oh, there it is. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. There hath no temptation taken you. You know, temptation, test, trial, putting us through afflictions, allowing the world to go after us, taken you. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So Lord only gives us what we can manage, even though we might think it's beyond our capability. And it passes. It passes by. You know, there's another scripture that says that well, let's see. 2 Corinthians 6. Maybe it's 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, it is, as Paul, and he's the one that was beaten by rods and left naked sometimes and in the sea and stoned and left for dead. But he says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. He said it's light. Really it is. When we work it out, whatever happens to us is light. The Lord doesn't allow us to get swamped. It's a light affliction because we're conquerors, because we overcome. We don't succumb to it, not if we're walking with the Lord. And it is but for a moment. So that's the thought in that third remedy, that the afflictions that do attend, to seriously consider that the afflictions that do attend the saints in the way of holiness are but short and momentary. Hebrews 10:36. We'll finish this one off and we'll be done. So Hebrews 10:36. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. It is but a little while. So condition your mind with these thoughts when Satan suggests that you're being treated unfairly, that this shouldn't be happening to you, that God could surely do something better for you than what he has, and that your life is just one hardship. You can reply to him. These things all these things will eventually work together for good, and that whatever I suffer, if I'm walking with the Lord, can only be physically. And that's the only loss, and materially, but that's still physical, isn't it? And also that these afflictions are but for a moment. Okay, and then, Lord willing, next time we'll continue with remedy four, which is to seriously consider that the afflictions that do befall the saints are such as proceed from God's dearest love. It is through love that he allows us to go through those valleys and troubles. What kind of Christian would it make us if we had no trials? You know, if we just went through, everything was just smooth sailing. Okay, let's get ready then to take up our prayer requests.